can start the meeting.
Is it showing, Jefferson?
No, they're showing us your... Yeah. Still, they're not showing the agenda.
Is it showing, Jefferson?
It is. But it shows up to 2 months. Can you do something? Yeah, okay. That's better. Thank you very much. I know I'm late. I'm official. Let me apologize for us starting the meeting late. We are actually many minutes, 29 minutes late. My apologies. I might not even take that. The 15 minutes given to me must be compromised. Welcome to everybody. The meeting is here before us. We are coming from a very, very hectic work that we have been doing. One hopes that we are all intact. I know that some of us, we were deployed in different areas of work. We might have met quite a lot of difficulties. But we are where we are. The results of the elections are given, and parties have done what they can do, and the voters have spoken. So ours is to implement their mandate as they have given to us. Those of you who are growing, please grow. Those of you who are static, remain static. But there must be government at the end of the day. We are all welcome. Thank you very much. Is there any apologies that you have, no problem?
I did not receive any apology, Chairperson.
Okay. Is there any member want to say something on apologies?
Well, Chairperson, okay. With your permission. From the department side, Chair, when you permit us to do so.
Are you allowed?
Well, our apologies is for the minister and the deputy minister because of certain things that they are just dealing with. The minister has logged in, but there is an apology for him and the deputy minister Magadzi. And deputy minister Mahlobo is leading the delegation.
That's fine.
Honorable Mashiku.
Mamdala.
And we hope the minister doesn't do the same thing that the other minister was doing, Minister Sisulu. He must not start with apologies. So he must be in the meeting because we need him here to account on other issues. He's still new in this field of water and sanitation. Understand the issues.
Mamsala, can we also be proactive as members of the portfolio committee? Remember, the minister is not a member of the portfolio committee. But as you are rightfully so saying, if there are things we want him to come and help us to take us on board on, let's indicate in time for him and ask him to be present, because remember, he attend the portfolio as per the invitation of the chair or of the committee. Once we see that there is a need that he must become an account on certain things, let's indicate in time, then we can say to him, but we have given you space, why are you not coming? But under normal circumstances, he's not necessarily a member of the portfolio committee. But it does not take away that if we need him, we really, really will request him to come. But for this today, we have not should tell him to whether we need him. At least the deputy minister is here. But I take your point. Let's take your point.
Chair, I just want to indicate that over and above the deputy minister, I'm present. Thank you.
Hey, person.
Yeah. Yes.
It's Leon speaking. Good morning.
Good morning, Leon. How are you?
That's all good. Morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, and colleagues. Would you allow me to just raise another issue that I think it is important, Chairperson?
On apologies.
No, not on apologies, Chair. On another matter.
Where will that be in the agenda?
That's why I'm asking, Chair, whether you would allow me after apologies just to bring a request to the committee, and if you would allow me to do that, Chair.
Can we put it then as item, when do you want it, as item, at the last item or in the at the beginning of the meeting?
Chairperson, if the minister is still here, I think it's best if we do it now. In the beginning of the meeting, it's just a normal request. It's nothing controversial, Chairperson.
Okay. Let's pass the apologies. We'll then listen to you.
Thank you very much.
Can I get somebody moving the apologies? The minister is here.
But Chair, I want to agree with the agenda, but. The member must say what the item is. We can't just agree to put an item only to find we are not going to agree to discuss it.
No, let us have the item. We might disagree with the content of the item if it is put, if you believe it does not help us. Yes, because we might start debating an item outside the meeting. It will not help us. Let's listen to him. If the item is not relevant to our issue, we just check it out to go to item two, item three, which will be item two by that time.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I proceed then?
No, we have not adopted the apologies. Okay. Can we adopt the apologies? Okay.
I adopt the apologies. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can I have a second?
Seconded, Chair.
Okay. Let's hear you, Leon.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would ask the minister and the department to bring a report to the portfolio committee on Seribeng water. The people in Seribeng areas struggling without water because of the financial situation of Seribeng due to municipalities not paying. The fact is that the residents are struggling, and as I understand that Seribeng will not be able to pay salaries on the 20th again, and there will be another strike. So I really plead that the department and the minister inform the portfolio committee on the situation in Seribeng and how we can, the department intends to resolve the problems of funding of Seribeng. Thank you, Chair. That's all I wanted to request.
No, that's fine. I don't think it needs any secondment. I have seen there's a process of bringing in the report on Roy Val and even on Val. Let's get the Seribeng in that particular program for us to get the point. I don't think it is something that you needed to have as an item. the Deputy Minister and the Minister, I'm sure you hear that, that in the report that you're bringing in the committee, please include CDB. Do you have a problem with that?
Chair.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I appreciate it.
No, okay, thanks. Can we have item 2? Progress report on associated royal water treatment works.
Chair, let me start just a few remarks on the matter, and I think these are remarks that Deputy Minister Mashlova would have made just to put matters in context and sharing them with the portfolio committee. The first thing is that there has been quite a long history of interaction between Department of Water and Sanitation and the City of Tshwane on the
recording in progress
on matters of water supply to the residents of Tshwane over time. Now, this includes supply of clean drinkable water to the people of Hammanskraal Kraal, which is the responsibility of the City of Tshwane in terms of reticulation as per their status as the water authority under their jurisdiction. When we got appointed in August this year, we read this history of interaction, and our conclusion was that it had not yielded any progress and any results in relation to drinkable water being supplied to the people of Hammanskraal Kraal in particular. But there's also been from time to time issues of clean and drinkable water to people of Lodium and Attridgeville and other surrounding areas. Now, after we got appointed, interaction ensued, and between our appointment and now, we've held no less than 4 meetings. And in most cases, these meetings, I think in 3 cases, they involved the Premier of Gauteng, Premier David Makura, the Mayor of Tshwane, and MMC and the other relevant people. On our side, it would be ourselves, Ministry, it would be our office in Gauteng, it would be Rand Water, it would be Magaliesse Water at some point. And so we've been interacting in formal meetings. The last meeting that we held was in Midrand during our 3-day session, working session in Gauteng. Involved a session with the all water authorities in the form of metros in Gauteng, and the City of Tshwane was represented by the mayor as well. And a long report was presented firstly by our office in Gauteng and later by the mayor himself. The outcome of this interaction, I'll get to that later, but in the meantime, there has been intervention.
Recording stopped.
Not once, but I would think in 2 rounds. Intervention by the Human Rights Commission of South Africa, were raising concerns, conducting investigations, and interacting with the people of Hammanskraal.
Recording in progress.
And then. finally giving reports to us, the last one being this year. Now, when you take all these things into consideration, just to summarize, it does, maybe just to add that at some point, the meeting between us and the city of Tswane and other stakeholders that I've referred to was quite a heated meeting, because there was an argument about Tswane city having not completed a pipe, which is a project that had started some time ago, which would be a pipe supplying, a separate pipe supplying water directly to Lodium, as per agreement. And Rand Water presented quite a clean report, which we wanted City of Tswane to contest. And they couldn't contest it because they knew about it. And it was quite a disturbing scenario when we had been submitting that they were at fault, not completing that particular project. Now, let me summarize this. It has come to a point where the Department of Water and Sanitation need to conclude that in terms of our obligations to the Constitution of the Republic, we are defaulting. It's one thing to default when circumstances that force you to are insurmountable, maybe because you are incapable, either human resource wise or because of the budget. In the case of Tswane and the people of Hammanskraal, maybe I should also add that it's not the whole of Hammanskraal that is affected. It's Themba area, which is supplied specifically by the Apis River system up to water treatment plant and the dam that is fed by the river, which is infested with pollution. The other part of Hammanskraal, which is supplied by Rand Water and supplied by Mahalis, there are no problems there. Now, our conclusion is that while the city of Tswane, in relation to Hammanskraal or first Lodium and surrounding areas, did undertake, they made a reference to a long period, 4 or 5 years. And then in relation to Hammanskraal, it's also a long period. Conclusion. We need to intervene because not only are we in contravention of the Constitution, we are also in contravention of our own mantra, where we talk about water as life and sanitation being a dignity. But the water part, we're certainly defaulting. And this is to the disappointment of people of Hammers. We are, I would say, putting to the portfolio committee at this stage, in this particular important meeting, is that the report clearly indicates that of the Human Rights Commission. Legislative framework, we agree that we should intervene. Otherwise, we'll continue operating under bus as a result of problems of the city of Tswane. And therefore, we have concluded what we are doing until end of the month. Special advisors are crafting our reaction. From our office, from our interactions and so on, and we presented before end of the month in our meeting with the department where after we'll take wherein we'll take a final but the decision we don't intend decisions of the Human Rights Commission or challenge them. We intend just adopting a clear position taken from among other things court, and then we go forward. That's what we want to put to the committee, and that therefore the report will talk to those matters. Thank you very much.
Can we, having listened and the input, take into cognizance, let us be guided by that input and listen to the input by the department?
Why don't the department, a minister, and yourselves, the presentation will be made by the acting provincial head, Mr. Simon Mapangula, on the document that has been circulated to members and on the guidance and the context Minister has given us. Mapangula.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Chair. All protocols observed. I just want to fly the presentation. I am requesting that the host gives me the rights to fly the presentation, or the presentation can be flighted by the host and I can present it from my side.
You can present from your side. You are a co-host now, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. This is the presentation. I hope you are able to see it. I'm trying to put it on a slideshow. Chair, are you able to see the presentation?
Yes, it is visible. It is visible. But
thank
put it on a slideshow.
I've put it on a slideshow, Chairperson. Okay, let me start, Chair, and I will, in the sense that, Chair, we're supposed to be joined by City of Tshwane, represented by Minister Stephen Motwane. Unfortunately, we couldn't locate him when we were trying to get a hold of him this morning. And the presentation that we are about to make, we had sent it to City of Tshwane to get their concurrence on the presentation. We didn't receive any feedback. Thought we need to put that on to further indicate that we've got a good working relationship with City of Tshwane at our level, at officials. If I could go in, hope the slides are moving, Chair. I'm now on the outline. Is studying the outline. I'll be taking you through the introduction, followed by the background, the direct portfolio committee, the progress report against the recommendation made by the portfolio committee, some of them the Minister has already elaborated on. Going to the next slide. The City of Tshwane is the what?
Your slide is not moving. It is still in the cover sheet.
Okay, Chair. What I will do, I am going to so that therefore we could see if I cannot put it again. Again, on a slide mode, Chairperson, if you allow me, apologies about that glitch. Chair, you'll pardon me. I'm trying to try to flight it once more, but that it be a show. Are you able to see the presentation?
No.
Okay. Are you able to now, Chair? Thank you very much. Let me move in the interest of time. That is the outline that I've already taken you through, Chairperson and other board members, including Minister. The introduction, this is where I was. I'll take off where I left off, Chairperson. The operation includes the Royval wastewater treatment works and Temba water treatment works, which are located within the Apis River subcatchment, which lies in the northern part of the Pretoria and flows towards the Hammanskraal town. Royval wastewater treatment works was visited and found to be overcapacitated and evidently poorly operated and maintained. These conditions have resulted in poor quality effluent being discharged into the Apis River, which flows into the Leeugraal Dam. The wastewater effluent quality is non-compliant to the effluent standards. And in the following slides, I'll be able to elaborate further. The Temba water treatment works abstracts raw water from the Leeugraal Dam, after which it is treated and supplied to communities of Hammanskraal. Still on background, the wastewater treatment works is currently not operating optimally due to the followings. And the waste treatment works, in this case, we are referring to the Royval Chairperson, that is not operating optimally due to the following reasons, which are plant operating above design capacity, the wastewater cannot handle and manage the produced sludge, inadequate and partial treated effluent, poor sludge treatment and handling. The challenges indicated have an adverse impact downstream water users, such as agricultural and domestic sectors. There has been recurring overflowing of sludge from the lagoons, those are mature ponds, as well as poor quality effluent discharge into the Apis River. The Department of Water and Sanitation issued City of Swan with a notice and a directive in terms of Section 19 of the National Water Act, 1998. Some meetings since then were held to try and address these challenges with no success. The department thereof approached the court to seek relief. Coming to Temba, sorry, Chair, as part of the background, Temba water treatment plants abstracts raw water from Leeugraal Dam into which Apis River flow. Before upgrading of the works, this was the situation. The department has been assessing the drinking water quality results for Temba water treatment works and the point. Nitrates, disinfectant, and turbidity has been reoccurring. After upgrading of the works, Temba plant upgrading has been completed. However, due to the quality of raw water, the plant is unable to treat water to required drinking water standards. It should be noted that all the non-compliance are on recording aesthetic stopped. And operational risk. The department has been receiving complaints regarding the quality of drinking water at Hammanskraal.
Recording in progress.
In 2018, the community reported the matter to the South African Human Rights Commission. And since then, engagement between the three parties were then held. With three parties meaning South African Human Rights Commission, City of Tshwane, and the Department of Water and Sanitation. Continue with the background. During the Deputy Minister Mahlobo's visit on 20 August 2019, wherein he had visited accompanied by officials of the department and officials of City of Tshwane, City of Tshwane undertook to attend to biological nutrient removal, which is a BNR unit at Rooi Valley Waste Treatment Works. The operation of the unit will reduce the challenges at Temba Water Treatment Works if it is attended to. The City of Tshwane also indicated that they will increase water tankering until such time that water that is supplied through water that is supplied through Temba Water Treatment Works is fit for human consumption. Regular meetings for tracking progress of implementation of the action plan were also held. The plant is currently not operating optimally due to the following, that is Rooi Valley. The plant is operating above design capacity due to the hydraulic and organic overload. Due to the capacity constraints, the plant cannot handle and manage the produced sludge. Inadequate and partial treated effluent is therefore discharged. Poor sludge treatment and handling due to capacity constraints. The challenges indicated have an adverse impact on downstream water users such as agriculture and domestic sectors. That is still on Rooi Valley. Coming to the Temba, before the plant upgrades, Temba Water Treatment Works extracts raw water from Lukral Dam into which flow. Before upgrading of works, the department has done the assessment of the drinking water results and the point of use, and these the results that they've came across and compliance color, taste, and odor were observed. After upgrading of the plant, which is Temba, Temba has been completed. However, due to the quality of raw water, the water treatment works is unable to treat water to required drinking water standards. We need to indicate that is the status even now. However, it must be noted that all the parameters that pose a chronic health risk to human beings were compliant with South African national standards. However, the non-compliance are on aesthetic and operational risk. Still on the background, the department has been receiving complaints regarding matter was therefore reported to the South African Human Rights Commission, and this engagement of the South African Human Rights Commission, City of Tshwane, and the department. Portfolio committee directive. During the portfolio committee meeting that was held on 30 August 2019, the portfolio committee higher state of affairs. One, City of Tshwane within 24 hours, source chlorine and ensure that effluent is discharged and provide the department with a progress report. What status? The city attended to the chlorine dosing station immediately to ensure that it is operational. The department visited the plant and confirmed that the matter indeed was resolved. Two, consider appointing water service providers to perform the operation and maintenance for both Rooi Valley Wastewater Treatment Works and Temba Water Treatment Works. Subsequently, the water service providers could be appointed for a short term to stabilize the plants, thus giving the city also an opportunity to recruit key personnel to properly operate and maintain the plants. Furthermore, the committee also recommended that the city the city has engaged with both Mahalis and Erwat, which is Ekurhuleni Water Care Entity, an entity of Ekurhuleni City Metro, for collaboration on water and waste treatment plants. MOUs have been finalized and the appointments are currently being finalized, and I'll be taking you through, I will elaborate further on the coming slides. The portfolio committee further that a detailed assessment of the plan of the challenges and solutions, including funding at the Rooival wastewater treatment works and timber water purification plant must be done. Must develop and CITOFSAN must develop an integrated intervention plan that will address the Rooival, the Epis River, the Lucral Dam, and finally the timber water purification works. What's the status? The action plan. The action plan was developed and tabled before the committee on 10 September 2021. Furthermore, the committee recommended that the CITOFSAN was advised to reprioritize its budget, including the grants, to fund the urgent upgrades and the required operation maintenance, including the appointment of water service providers. In the Urban Settlement Development Grant quarterly meeting held on the 15th of August 2019, the Department of Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation directed CITOFSAN to reprioritize its USDG allocation to sort out the Harmon's Kraal water situation, as well as Portfolio Committee directives continue. Further recommended that CITOFSAN urgently address the security situation at all the key water and sanitation infrastructure, and furthermore ensure that all residents of Harmon's Kraal are supplied with water being submitted a scheduled per CITOFSAN report to the Portfolio Committee, ensure that the tank water is free, both monetary and otherwise. Establish a monetary mechanism to ensure quality assurance and mechanism to address challenges where they occur. Those were the recommendations from the Portfolio Committee. Progress against the Portfolio Committee's recommendation. Erwat and Mahalis Water were engaged by CITOFSAN for collaboration in the operation of timber water treatment works and Rooival wastewater treatment works. Thus far, memorandum of understanding and service level agreement have been finalized, and the progress is as follows. MOU and SLA have been finalized with Erwat. MOU has been finalized with Mahalis Water Board. It's only the SLA that is currently receiving attention from the legal department of CITOFSAN. CITOFSAN has completed budget reprioritization, which are the adjustments for the USDG to allocate funding for the assistance and interventions required. Timber water treatment works is operational. However, the community of Central Harmon's Kraal will continue to receive drinking water through water tankers until the quality of the water fully complies with drinking water standards. Progress reported Rooival wastewater treatment works. I need to qualify the statement, Chair, by indicating that Rooival is currently being refurbished and upgraded through two phases. The first phase is the one that I'll be taking you through now, since it started last year. Whilst the second phase, which is estimated to finish in the next 5 years, has not yet commenced. Now, in terms of the first phase progress thus far, refurbishment of the sludge belt presses is currently standing at 65% in terms of completion. Refurbishment of the return activated sludge screw pumps has been completed. Dredging of maturation ponds is currently standing at 50%. Whereas operation maintenance is ongoing at a cost of 24 million. And the phase one upgrade of the plant, additional 40 megaliter, the contractor was terminated. However, I will be coming back to this one in terms of the status in the subsequent slides. Still on the progress, the aesthetic or physical aspect of Rooival waste treatment works effluent at the maturation ponds has improved since the dredging has started. CITOFSAN has beefed up security at the wastewater treatment works and ensured that the people of Harmon's Kraal are supplied with water immediately, that is tankering. The Harmon's Kraal community has been informed of the challenges that were being experienced at the timber water treatment works also the monitoring schedule. Cleaning of reservoirs were completed on the 26th and 28th September to improve the water quality. Flushing and disinfection of the water network was completed on 8 and 9 October 2019 to improve water quality in the distribution network. The portfolio committee undertook an oversight visit to the city of Tshwane in February 2020 and made recommendations to the Department of Water and Sanitation and the city of Tshwane, which includes the following. That the COT should reprioritize its budget, including the grants to fund the urgent upgrades and required operation maintenance. Two, water service providers be appointed on a short-term basis to stabilize the plant, thus giving the city of Tshwane opportunity to recruit key personnel to properly maintain, to properly operate and maintain the plants. The DWS facilitate the procurement of services from its entities in reference to Magalis and the Rand Water Boards respectively. That could assist the city of Tshwane should city of Tshwane wish to utilize their services to address the problems at Rooival and Temba plant. City of Tshwane to develop an integrated intervention plan that will address pollution of the Rooival, the Apis River, Liugral Dam, and finally the Temba water purification works. The construction activities in terms of progress still on phase one of the Rooival refurbishment and upgrade program. The PST, which is your primary settling tank in terms of completion, is currently standing at 74%. Your digesters is standing at 55%. Bioreactors is 37%. Sludge dewatering at 32%, whereas the inlet works is currently standing at 4%. And the installation of the bypass pipeline has been completed. These are the photographs of the works that I've just provided progress on, Chairperson. Coming to the Apis River, the following studies have been completed: environmental baseline condition survey, an assessment report, work on the rehabilitation requirement, delineation, mapping, and prioritization of affected areas has been done. Groundwater monitoring of the boreholes in and around Rooival wastewater treatment plant proposal was approved and sampling was completed. Testing and report was prepared and submitted. Terrestrial ecology study report, the aquatic ecology report, wetlands and the rehabilitation plan with a baseline for hydrological and hydraulic assessment report were also done. Compilation of conceptual designs and implementation plans for a rehabilitation, completion of preliminary designs and rehabilitation plan were also done under the Apis River Chair. The financial matters, Chair will recall that we had indicated on the other slide that the civil contractor was terminated. We need to indicate the another civil contractor has therefore been appointed, and I'm taking you through the expenditure to date in terms of service providers appointed as part of the Rooival Phase 1. The NJR and Blackhead Consultancy were appointed at a contract at a contract value of 253 million. The expenditure to date is standing at 47%. The Royal Haskening DHV Consultancy appointed at a value of 19.9 million. The expenditure is standing at 72%. Bashumi Engineering and Shack Solutions appointed at a value of 2.9. The expenditure is standing at 20%, whilst the implementing agent, that is ERWAT, appointed at the cost fee of 5%, as informed by the Financial Management Act, is managing all these contractors that I've just shared with you, Chair, and the progress that I've shared with you on the Rooival Phase 1, these are the consultants that have been responsible for those, for that progress. City of Tshwane, Chairperson, has categorized the works that needs to be done for the critical plants that have been identified by City of Tshwane following the recommendation made by the portfolio committee. They've categorized those projects in terms of impact And there is impact one, there is category one, category two, category three, meaning that category one is the one where we're going to have major impact. And it is categorized, it is therefore informed by the followings in terms of projects. We've got Royval Phase 1, which is prioritizing upgrade of existing infrastructure. Royval Phase 2, that is the 80 megaliter extension and sludge facility. Dasport, that's the minor upgrade of existing infrastructure. Sunderland Ridge Phase 1, that's upgrade of existing infrastructure. Bavianspoort Phase 1, also the same. And whilst on Zikuchat Phase 1 is upgrading of existing infrastructure, but in this instance referring to mechanical, still continue with category 1. We've got the Godrich, that is the extension on for the 10 megaliter. And we've got the Sunspade Phase 1, which is the upgrade of the sludge handling, whilst the Klephart Phase 1 is the upgrade of mechanical and electrical infrastructure due to vandalism and theft. We need to emphasize, Chair, that this is one of the plans wherein vandalism was very severe, in the sense that even the only thing that is left, Chair, now, it is the concrete structure. All the infrastructure that comprise the plant has been taken away and vandalized by the community. Coming to it, also category one also includes timber, commissioning of module 3, which is your mega 20 lift. That's the upgrade of existing infrastructure and the upgrade of process to cater for industrial effluent. Category two, Chairperson, which is your second layer of impact, is Sunderland Ridge Phase 2, which is extension of the 20 existing site. Bavianspoort Phase 2, that is the 40 megaliter extension of the waste treatment works on New Argentine site. Zikuchat Phase 2 is debottleneck and tertiary treatment upgrade project for stricter effluent standards. Whilst Rietgat Phase 1 also is extension and the sludge handling facility. Klephart Phase 2 is the 33 megaliter extension and upgrade of the sludge handling facility. And the total cost, Chair, for Phase 2, there it comes to 2.5 billion. I mean, to Impact 3, that's category 3. It comprises of the following project. That's Royval Phase 3, which is the extension of 50 megaliter per day. Sunderland Ridge, that's land acquisition. Sunderland Ridge Phase 3, 25 megaliter extension project on New Argentine site. Hennops River, that's the new waste treatment works on or bulk sewer project. Refueler Phase 1, is extension with extension project from 2 megaliter a day. Refueler Phase 2, extension with 10 megaliter a day. Sun Sprays Phase 2 is extension 10 megaliter a day. Klephart Phase 3 is 33 megaliter a day extension. And the total cost, therefore, is 3.3. What is the total cost combined for all the three categories? It's the slide that explains that, Chairperson. Category one, it comes to 3.2 billion. Category two is 2.5, whilst impact three is 3.3. And in total, the capital budget requirements for prioritized critical waste treatment works, it comes to 9.2 billion. The operational and maintenance budget for the plants mentioned, starting with Royval, Dasport until and the most we have started with the most critical one that is in the public's eye. We've also included the timber, Klephart and Sunspade, and the figures are there, Chairperson. Recommendation from the South African Human Rights report. The South African Human Rights Commission launched a report titled Gauteng Provincial Inquiry into the sewage pollution of the city of Tshwane River and Rodeplaat Dam on the 26th of October 2021 at Hammanskraal. The South Africa Human Rights Commission chairperson made two critical recommendations which affect the department directly. And the first one, the commission recommends that the situation regarding failing waste treatment works in South Africa and its consequent pollution of South Africa's water resources be declared a national disaster in accordance with the Disaster Management Act. Second critical recommendation, as an alternative to the declaration of national disaster, the Commission recommends that in terms of Section 139 of the in terms of Section 139 of the Constitution and Section 63 of the Water Services Act and Section 19 and 63 of the National Water Act, Cabinet seriously consider taking a decision to intervene in the running of City of Tshwane, in particular chair that is water and sanitation function. As part of declaring the situation a national disaster, the Commission recommended the establishment of a national water care entity. The Commission further stated that the need for a mechanism which oversees water care in the context of wastewater treatment plants from a national level and which integrates and operates at provincial level is an acute one. At present, challenges appear throughout the value chain in the current design, from the various national departments through to local government delivery entities. A national water care entity could be a viable and effective of wastewater services in the country. That's the recommendation from the Commission. The Commission further acknowledged through its findings that the primary reason for the unacceptable levels of pollution is the failure to manage and maintain existing waste treatment works in the city of Tshwane over a prolonged result resulted in a regression in standards of delivery, include poor planning and implementation evidenced by the insufficient number of waste treatment works to accommodate the growing population in the city of Tshwane. Furthermore, Chairperson, the department acknowledges the recommendation, which reads, as an alternative to the declaration seriously consider taking a decision for national government to intervene in the running of the city of Tshwane Metropolitan Municipality. As part of this recommendation, the commission further stated that the failure to repair and replace the sewerage system of the municipality is not only a failure to comply with the water service authorities. It is a failure of many people over many years to properly run the municipality, and the department concurs with the South African Human Rights Commission. The commission proposed that the water and sanitation departments of the city of Tshwane be taken over by the Department of Water and Sanitation, and that such an intervention can also make use of the services of organs of state such as Rainwater, Ekurhuleni entity, which is Herwat. This is a recommendation that is currently receiving attention internally, Chairperson, by the department. And as we've been required by the commission to respond within 60 days, we shall do so, Chairperson, within the stipulated time. Critical issues to note, Chairperson, just to indicate that following up on the introductory remarks made by Minister Mtunu, that the minister has requested City of Tshwane to reduce the 5-year estimated period to complete the second phase of Rooival refurbishment upgrade program to 3 years. The response from the City of Tshwane is as follows. The timelines could be reduced to 4 years, which is 3 years for construction plus 1 year for design and environmental approvals. If the project is classified as an emergency and supply chain processes and regulatory requirements are shortened to directly appoint suitable service providers, which in this instance refers to designers and contractors. Furthermore, as it also said, such action will also be subject to immediate availability of funding to ensure immediate engagement in this regard. Minister Mkunu has instructed the department to find an interim solution of providing drinking water to affected Hammanskraal communities, because completion of Rooival first phase, which is meant to complete in October 2022, is too far. How did we respond as a department? And Minister also provided guidance on how the interim solution could be found. The department, through the guidance of Minister Mkunu, engaged with Randwater, and Randwater has since provided an assessment report of options to provide water to affected Hammanskraal communities, and that and the report is receiving attention internally, Chairperson, and this is my last slide. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will pause here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I see hands of those that need to ask questions and engage the report on the problem? I see the hand of Honorable Mushlala. That's far. Honorable Mushlala.
Chair, before Mushlala, just a point of clarity. I may, Honorable Mushlala.
Given.
Thank you very much. Chair, I thought that we'll take the two presentations, both your Rival and the Val, and we'll then interact with the presenters after they present the two presentations. And it was highlighted also in our agenda for today. So I just need your advice on that matter.
May I proceed, Chairperson?
No. I was saying, is the proposal by Honorable Seke not making sense?
There's no problem. We can proceed. They can proceed with the other presentation, Chairperson.
Let's do that, because we have got time constraints. We need to go to the plenary. I'm going.
Yes, I'm available, Chair.
Can we get the second presentation?
Yes, we can do that.
Okay, please.
Thank you. Just a few remarks on this one. I'll also cover Sitibeng so that we just flow into them. On the Val, let me just start where we are, Chair. Noting all the background and all the developments in the past, including in the short past, we decided that we must, for once, this time around, make a well-informed intervention as the Department of Water and Sanitation on the Val. Now, in order for us to arrive there, we would have needed to read everything that has been done on the Val by our departments in an attempt to intervene and resolve matters there. So we went through all the records, all the reports, where we made or not made any progress after intervention. We looked at a set of activities that we were engaged in, money that has been spent up to then. And we then took step one. Step one was to conclude what kind of intervention would really work, having advantage of everything that has been done or attempted in the past. Now, we decided that this time around, we would need to appoint an implementing agent that would have been properly assessed. And as a result of that assessment, would gain our trust and enjoy our confidence. And once that has been done, we will then proceed to then do accordingly. And by the time we got appointed, a former minister in water and sanitation had already approached Rand Water, and we did that, follow up on that, and we agreed that, based on our own assessment of Rand Water and their proximity and their capacity, let's proceed and appoint them indeed. And that was duly done. And so Rand Water has been appointed as an implementing agent on the Vaal project. The second thing we did, we went to the Vaal ourselves. We took a cruise there with knowledgeable people. As far as that is concerned, we assessed everything we finalized that we now are fairly informed about the extent of the problem and all other aspects. One, our assessment was that there you have the problem of the river itself, that it has been polluted. Scientific assessment that we conducted, we just went there. From what we saw and observed, pollution has gone quite deep there. And those were briefing us and taking us through, say it's also on the floor of the river, but even the water, as we were cruising, it was clear that heavily contaminated. The animals that are there, you could see that they are heavily affected, and the environment as a whole. Now, we then went to the plants. Plants are minimally functional, were functional at all. We then went to the pumps. Pumps, including critical ones, to keep the system working, had been grounded to a halt, to a point where you with the pumps themselves, give them attention, serious attention. But the third aspect was that the pipes, sewer pipes, they had been blocked to a point where even if you resuscitated and overhauled your plants, that is your wastewater treatment plants, and even if you overhauled your pumps, if your pipes remain blocked, it wouldn't give you the necessary outcome. But if you attended to unblocking alone without dealing with your pumps at the same time, you wouldn't see the results, whether you're making progress or not, and proceed to your plants that cover the system as a whole. Now, we were doing this tour together with Rand Water themselves. The CE was there and a few other people in his team. We have held meetings with the board. We have made ourselves clear to the board and to management led by the CE that we are putting our heads on the block on this matter, because various attempts and interventions in the past have been made, and the department has incurred costs. Now, this time around, we are not into that. We are decisively intervening, and you are our implementing agent. And we are sitting here with you and from your first day up to your last day. And we want this work done as soon as possible. So all administrative processes have been gone into and concluded to a large extent. We have appointed somebody from Ms. Lamini to progresses, but we had a big meeting that involved all the role players there, other than Randwater and ourselves, the local municipality, the district, and various organizations that have interest in the Vaal, in that particular area, and the Vaal project itself. All of them were full in the hall. It was a physical meeting. All of them got allowed to speak and make their inputs, and all of them unanimously agreed that this make a decisive intervention led by the Department of Water and Sanitation. And we said their main role is to ensure that the environment under which the implementing agent has to work, which is Randwater, must be free from any interference, undue interference by anyone, together with the local municipalities, so that within the time frame, and Randwater is still making an assessment, they are going to come. Everything. This is the time frame that it's going to take to fix the system, but excluding cleaning the river itself, just ensuring that there is no further pollution, because we want to stop food pollution, and we want the system to be free of any external elements getting in there in the form of pollution. We want all the stakeholders to play whatever role, and resulting into that system being allowed to function in a clean environment. And then our last leg of the project will be to get into the river itself and clean it, while we keep a very strong monitoring mechanism, not only in the Vaal there, in the Vaal project, around the Vaal project, but throughout the system. And this is what we're going to be doing at the meeting at the end of the month, to say, let's look at all the spots, pollution spots of the river system from the source right down to the mouth. And we are from Northern Cape, we are from Free State, where we observe some of the pollution points, but we haven't finalized. Will be presented to us in a meeting of ministry and management that is to take place at the end of the month, to say, all right, in order for us not to go back to any situation like that, let us look at all the spots where pollution is taking place, and let us have a simultaneous project to clean up the whole of the system, not just this one that we are talking about. However, as we speak, Randwater is at work, and they have begun to make a difference And we were quite impressed with the initial briefing that they took us through in terms of what they would do based on what they had their approach and its impact that it would make in cleaning up the river. And we were one there, we agreed with them. There is now work that is being done there on all the critical aspects. It's they have had to do a complete overhaul, replacing extensively some of the parts of that water pump, wastewater pump that we saw, quite big chunks of machinery there, and which showed to us that they were on their way to actually resolving the problem. Now, we have a committee there led by Deputy Minister Mahlobo together with MC Maile of local government in Gauteng. They lead a committee through which we interact with all the role players there, keep each other informed. When there is any threat to the working environment there, they are the ones who have to resolve that, as it happened around the end of October, where people blocked one of the plants there, demanding jobs and all of that, which we understand. But we had to modify the way that thing would be processed. That blocking such that no work can continue is not a way of looking for a job. You don't go to a workplace and because you want a job, you then say nobody must work, and the work on from which you are seeking employment must not take place. That is a negative thinking. It's illogical in nature. It can't work. And therefore, we received the report back from Deputy Minister Mahlobo that they have resolved that matter. We are now community there. So work is continuing there. What we now have to monitor is picking up speed and agreeing with Randwater on the time frame and on the going to be involved. I want to assure the portfolio committee without exaggerating the areas with this project, and we are monitoring it. As I've indicated, Ms. Lamini, who is an engineer in her own right, is keeping us informed on a weekly basis, reporting to the minister every Friday. And we're making progress already. We are in touch with Randwater. We gave them an open door to talk directly to the minister whenever they feel they have to. Otherwise, ordinarily, they are in touch with the department, advising one another. But when necessary, they talk directly to us. So our doors are opened like that, and this is how we're monitoring. Deputy Minister, Ms. Lamini, and then overall, the implementing agent. But then Gauteng government also involved, and the local municipalities are involved in the committee that is run by Deputy Minister Mahlobo. So we have confidence that we enjoy the support and confidence of the CEO of Randwater, Mr. Mozai, will brief the committee on this matter. Thank you very much.
Can we get the CEO talking to us?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister. Good morning, and all protocol observed. I'm loading the presentation. I hope the presentation is visible from your side. The object of the presentation, as I move on to the third slide, Chair, I hope you can see me. I'm on third slide. Is to essentially provide the status of our intervention in Mfuleni in relation to CDBM regional sewer schemes interventions to assist deal with the issues of pollution in there. And just to share with the committee the project plan that we've crafted with stakeholders going forward, that will outline what we're doing now and shall be doing in the medium and the long term. I think without wasting too much time on the background, we're dealing with issues of pollution. Pollution, particularly in the Vaal River system in its entirety. I think we have been lucky to date that the sewer has not reached where we really abstract water inside the Vaal Dam. But you will see here that in 2017 we had that scare slightly downstream of the Vaal Dam where we abstract raw water for purification at our plants. We had that scare. Fortunately, at this point in time, we still don't have any pollution in the Vaal Dam itself. We have raw water, but sadly, because this would be a long-term intervention, we still have pollution, unfortunately, taking place in the Vaal Dam system, in the catchments, various catchments as a result of pollution of non-compliant wastewater that comes from the plants. And in certain instances, we still have raw water flowing from the pump stations directly into the rivers, and therefore informing our short-term interventions in terms of trying to arrest the issue of pollution in the Vaal River system. This slide here provides almost to a large extent the wastewater systems flow, particularly in Mfuleni, but you'll see it also includes, that is why this has always been called CDBM Regional Sewer Scheme. It includes some of the wastewater treatment works outside Mfuleni in your Meyerton over there. This slide gives an indication of how all these pump stations, a number of them, over 40 of them, are actually pumping the sewer into the wastewater treatment works. So these pump stations have to be for sewer to move from their households because not all the sewer gravitates into the wastewater treatment works. It gravitates mostly into pump stations. But pump stations, as the name says, they are pump stations. They're supposed to be pumping sewer from the stations themselves into wastewater treatment works, where sewer has to be treated and then discharged into the water bodies, albeit compliant. The challenge is that there are way too many of these pump stations that have been designed over a period of time in the entire catchment. Or catchments, but most of them, unfortunately, over the years, have been neglected, have not been upgraded, have not been refurbished, not operated and maintained, and they've completely collapsed. Most of them are not able to pump sewer into the wastewater treatment works, and as you see, some of them are just close to water bodies. So if you can see my cursor there, those pump stations that I'm indicating that if they're not working, obviously the water will flow into, say, Gerbos Rand River, and then it will go into the Vaal River directly. You'll see some of them. The in Leocale here, they're also next to the Vaal River. If they're not working well, they simply go straight into the water bodies. That is why, for a number of years now, this system has been characterized by pollution of water bodies, not only by untreated, properly treated sewer, but unfortunately, regrettably, with raw sewer in certain instances. So our intervention essentially was to identify those pump stations. And unfortunately, some of the pump stations, because the sewer actually goes back to where it comes from, if at the pump station is not pumped to wastewater treatment works, it has ended up into people's households. Our intervention, therefore, is to deal with that. We have identified critical pump stations that will immediately stop that, but also reduce the impact of sewer flowing into the wastewater treatment works. So I think critically, as the minister has indicated, we have really started with those pump stations and effected a lot of unblockings in the pumps themselves. So at least sewer can go into wastewater treatment works in the medium and in the long term. As sewer gets there, then we will have to upgrade the wastewater treatment works themselves. So in the system, we're talking Sebokeng, wastewater treatment works is in Sebokeng, Risprate, Bulombi Pato, wastewater treatment works, Leocale is just outside Sharpeville, and Meyerton is exactly in Meyerton, and they all feed into river bodies that flow eventually into Vaal River system. The Risprate there also flows into the Vaal River system, the Klepreefiere flows into the Vaal River system. So if not feeding directly into the Vaal River systems, all the stations are feeding into tributaries that eventually convey water, albeit polluted, into the Vaal River system. Similarly to the interventions that have been made in Tshwane, South African Human Rights Commission obviously held hearings in this area the last few years or so, just before COVID. And they made recommendation, again, similar to what we see in Tshwane, that the Department of Water and Sanitation, the whole water and sanitation department of the municipality should be taken over by national government, that national government should take this responsibility. And they must intervene and use organs of state to ensure that there is intervention. I need to also mention that we all know that Zumu might be with us here, who's an administrator in Emfuleni. There are also Section 139 interventions from province that actually augment the work that we're doing. Ours is specific to water and sanitation, and theirs is broadly to deal with other issues of running the local government there. So it's a multifaceted intervention. And as a result of this requirement of South African Human Rights Commission, as the minister has indicated, rainwater has been brought into the fore to also form part of a team working closely with the department and the province to intervene in the area, alleviate the problem, and eventually solve it. So those recommendations were clear: establish a national water care entity. We need to centralize the expertise and integrate the issues of waste management, have uniform remedial action. And again, they have emphasized on operations and maintenance. So indeed, our interventions, both in the short, medium, and the long term, are addressing themselves to these recommendations. Also, you'll see in our slides, we also talk beneficiation program, the reuse of wastewater, the beneficiation thereof for agricultural purposes, the byproducts, the upgrading of those labs in terms of them being compliant with ISO 7025 accreditation that deals with the laboratories at large. So we talk in the medium and the long term around the issues of wastewater reuse. We'll touch on that in the slides. The Human Resource Human Rights Commission also indicated that we should take care of issues of this program, and this project must also ensure that we do so. In the slides that follow later, we do indicate some of the immediate job opportunities that we're going to create in the two catchments that we have identified as the priority catchment. In terms of the actual interventions, we have segmented methane wastewater treatment work and its pipe networks and pump stations. It's a catchment on its own. Leokale is the second catchment, and Risbrait, as I indicated in the previous slide, is also a catchment on its own. Just in terms of the short term interventions that we have already started with, we identified Leokale catchment as a priority catchment. Leokale, obviously, there are a lot of pump sets, pump stations, and that plant on its own needs to be upgraded together with Sibuke. That plant, together with its with pump stations flowing into it, also needs to be upgraded. In the medium, in the long term, of course, we've got plans to deal with methane and Risbrait, because you have to do an intervene holistically. But because also of budget constraint, we've got to start somewhere. As I indicated, our priority is to stop sewer right away from flowing into the water bodies and indeed into the households. What are we doing in the short term? What have we started with in the short term? I think the issue of operations and maintenance is quite critical. We have prioritized it. In the slides, I indicate some of the human interventions, technical interventions that we have effected. You can't run infrastructure if you're not operating it in the first place. You've got to be there. These pump stations can't run themselves. You've got to be there and run them and ensure that they are properly functioning, let alone the sophistication of running these plants with telemetry. You've got to be there. And when you're there, you know what is happening and maintain. So our first intervention was to go into these pump sets and make sure that we have millwrights and operators operating these plants and be able to maintain, you know, basic maintenance. So that was the first intervention. Go into the priority pump stations and maintain them. The second intervention will therefore be, as I indicated, Leokale is a priority intervention, sorry, priority catchment, is to do repairs of critical pump stations. You've got to do repairs, basic repairs, because these are civil, mechanical, and electrical infrastructure. They fail. They can't run forever. And the first issue then is to ensure, as I indicate in the later slides, that we have fully capacitated storerooms, we have vehicles, we have human resources to repair these critical pump stations. So that is our second priority. This also will extend to cover modification of module 3, 4, and 5 in Sibuke as a priority area. In Rothdin, we're going to start with the rising. This is Meyertin wastewater treatment works. And the pump stations that are critical at this point in time to assist us to deal with the pollution, we want to replace pump station 2 and pump station 34 in this catchment. And lastly, what we have started with in earnest, it's water conservation and water demand management. As we drive around the entire Mfuleni municipality, there's water running everywhere. And some of this water goes into the pump stations. And in the pump stations, sewer pump station, you want sewer and sewer only. If you don't repair this leak, you're creating a lot more problems for the municipality in terms of their water bill, but also the interface of water flowing into wastewater treatment works. And then we are then overcapacitated. In fact, if you have too much water going to wastewater treatment works, it's going to affect your ability to treat that waste. You don't want clean water in wastewater treatment works. You want wastewater because you rely on those enzymes that you find in the solid materials to start degrading the sewer that comes from wastewater treatment works. So we are intervening immediately around the issues of water in that space. And then in the other slide, then we talk about the medium and the long term in terms of what exactly what you want to do. This will be a multi-year project. What we are wanting to see, and just so that we give people hope to see some of these interventions that have been making or we are making to start working, so that when you talk long, medium term, people will already have confidence in us. So I think what we are doing is to bring that message of hope. We are showing people we are repairing, we are unblocking, we have vehicles. When people call, they get attended to, and we're starting to see the confidence in our people that we're just not talking and talking, but we are walking the talk. What we have also done in terms of how we're going to deal with these issues in parallel, we have broken them into streams to deal with the challenges before us. The first stream is that you have to upgrade and refurbish your infrastructure. This is where we have the major capital works, because upgrades means you have the necessary capacity to treat, to pump. You need to refurbish. That is extremely important. The second stream is that there's no point upgrading infrastructure, building world-class infrastructure, if you don't have maintenance plan, if you don't have operating manuals, if you're not reducing non-revenue water, if you don't have Metsi Alekwa, which is a division of Mfuleni, well-capacitated to operate and maintain. This is an intervention. Beyond this, somebody must continue to run the infrastructure, must maintain, must replace, must have shutdowns so that the system keeps going. So it cannot be an upgrade issue only, but it has to be an O&M issue. Then after that, you have to get into a sustainability mode. You have to have proper bylaws. You have to collect revenue. You have to have enhancement strategy so that money comes into the operations and function, and that money is also going back into the maintenance, and the system is well-oiled and runs on its own. So that's how utilities run. You've got to collect revenue, you've got to operate your plants, and you've got to use that revenue to maintain priority maintenance and maintenance and keep the system running. In the long term, you can upgrade. And many institutions, like, for example, Renota, you've got about 50-year-old pipes. What you do, you have to maintain them and they keep going. So you don't have to spend too much money on the upgrades. The fourth stream, which is quite very critical, it's that of communication. Part of what we have observed is that all these stoppages are as a result of our inability to communicate, reach the communities, tell them what is happening, what are we doing. And then we've seen the intervention of the minister and the steering committee that is chaired by DM Mahlobo and MEC Maile, with the numbers of meetings that we've been having, we don't have stoppages anymore. People are understanding, they are knowing what is happening, we are continuously engaging them, and this is extremely important. Beyond that, we still need to do proper monitoring and evaluation, water quality monitoring, you know, to manage our energy and so on and so forth. So all these interventions, all these streams will have their own deliverables, actions, and we will be monitored accordingly going forward, because we don't want to come back again with the same interventions. It has to be sustainable and run on its own. So another area is to optimize Sebokeng wastewater treatment works. You know that Renota has already finished module 6 in this area, and we need to start optimizing some of the modules that are there, so that waste that comes in there is treated to a compliance standards. In the very same catchment, this also benefits the entire Mfuleni. One of the first things that we have already done is to make sure that we have tools of trade, if you like. You cannot effect maintenance if you don't have vehicles. We have plans to procure vehicles, and that has started, and we should, in the next stage, we need to assist and augment the capacity, and then we have already done that, of the Mfuleni to ensure that they have staff in place. I must indicate that the cadre of very qualified people that just need to be supported with tools and vehicles and properly be trained and get accredited that can simply run these systems beyond Renota. One of the disheartening issues that we found around tools and equipment is that unfortunately the stores of Mfuleni have completely been depleted. No basic toolboxes, spanners, the rods, safety equipment. So that when somebody says we have a sewer blockage or water is running everywhere, when if you have vehicles and human resources, but you need to have tools, you need to have rods and attend. So this is where we have started. We have started with basic things to get the municipality going, and we have assessed some of the, in terms of the vehicles. Some of the vehicles were standing, they were requiring maintenance, about 52 of them. When you go in the VAL and you want, you report a leakage or anything like that, there was just no vehicles. They were just standing there, they were not maintained. So what we have done is Renault have mobilized a few of our vehicles ourselves and started the process of ensuring that we fix through RFQs the vehicles that we have and new vehicles that we may need going forward. So that we have started. And now we have vehicles moving we have also through the War Leaks program that we have rolled out for a number of years, we have taken 37 operators and plumbers from our database that we have trained as Renota for the benefit of the municipalities. As you know, the big challenge with municipalities is that we train all these skilled plumbers and operators, the municipalities have not taken them. And immediately after our appointment and the request to intervene immediately, we have taken just all those 37 that we have ourselves trained, and they are also aiding in terms of the human resource capabilities in there. The process controllers that we have, they need to be accredited. They need to have class 5 accreditation. So you can't operate the plant without this accreditation. We have started that. We have also placed mill rights in wastewater treatment works and pump stations, which is exactly what I said. Pump stations don't run themselves. They can't run themselves. We have to have them. So maintenance team, human resource interventions in there. We have gone out on another to start looking for cables that have been stolen and vandalized to ensure that we have toolboxes, to ensure that we have all the tools of trade, safety equipment, so that when we attend to these blockages, they're up and running. What we have also started with the Section 139 interventions from province, the Metri did not have even a call center. So if you have a leakage, if you have a sewer blockage, the number that everybody used to call for a number of years was not working. So the call center had already collapsed. We're working with them to attend to this matter. And at least for now, we can report that there can be a number that you have, that you can call and you can receive attention. Unfortunately, because we're still capacitating our store, the turnaround is not overnight. In certain areas, it really takes time, unfortunately, members, to attend to these leaks and blockages. But I'm happy that together with the contractors that we have that are currently unblocking and these interventions, people are starting to see a change. There's that message of hope. People are seeing vehicles. People are seeing people answering their phone. People are seeing stuff in plants. And progressively, that's why you start seeing the communities that now I'm blocking and opening the sites and allowing us to work, because they're starting to have confidence in what we are doing with our interventions in terms of where we have started. The service level agreement between us and the department has been sorted out. The minister talked about the project steering committee that has been very helpful, that is chaired by the deputy minister, and it assists us to get going. If we have challenges at any given time, we rush to the stakeholder committees, and they have been very nimble-footed. We're grateful to DM Sobe and MEC. Every single time we call a meeting, they attend promptly, Minister. So the intervention to say we must have the steering committee up and running and chaired by the two. This is the only committee that we have. So we don't have many people to report to. Everybody that wants to express their views, their recommendations, their complaint, they go to a steering committee. From our side, as Renota, we are able to do what we know best, to intervene, upgrade, refurbish, operate, and maintain sewer infrastructure. And to an extent, also help the municipalities with the water infrastructure. What we are at the tail end of completing now is to take all the contractors that have been appointed by the department over to Rainwater. We have made progress in this area with the DG. I'm hopeful that soonest there will be a completion of due diligence report and an indication of which contractors are we taking over, not taking over, and why and why not. But this is not standing in the way of the interventions that we are making. It's an administrative in-house matter that we're working with the DG, with the assistance of the minister, and the DMs where we have challenges. I've already spoken about this at length. We're wanting to demonstrate here that all done is to start with fixing the leaks. The leaks have to be fixed. The municipality is losing a lot of water, struggling to pay its water bills. We need to retrofit, we need to attend leaks. Some of them are big leaks. In this picture we showed already an example of the leaks that we have identified in Peace Haven in the Val. So this maintenance team has already started in October, and then we have successfully retrofitted quite a number of leaks that we have identified. Also, what we're going to be doing as we intervene around water conservation and demand management, assist with some of the what you call water conservation and demand management measures, simple things like pressure reducing valves, simple things like managing the night flows, what you do in your system at night to avoid the leaks and pressurizing the system using pre-RVs. This will be part of the operations and maintenance manual that we're going to be leaving on site to say, this is how you run your distribution network. This is what you do at night. This is what you do in the morning. This is what you look at. This is when you pump. This is when you don't pump. This is how you conserve energy. This is how you use energy. When we leave the area, we will also leave those. How do you detect leaks? Where do you detect them? Where are the most leaks likely to be found? It will assist the municipality, basically to reduce water losses, but most importantly, to avoid leaks that happen sporadically in the entire sewer network. In the long term, we want to reuse effluent from Sebokeng wastewater treatment waste. Jealously, we have, together with the department, spent over R1 billion upgrading Sebokeng wastewater treatment waste with module 6, world-class wastewater treatment waste module, and producing good quality water. We are running feasibility studies and availability analysis that we'll complete by the turn of the year, where we will begin to take that wastewater, reusing it for other purposes other than drinking water. For example, as recommended by South African Human Rights Commission for agricultural purposes. We all know, we have traveled the world, that wastewater reuse has become one of the critical water conservation and demand management. In areas where you need, when you don't need potable water, you can use partially purified water, such as watering the lawns, sports fields, agricultural purposes, and indeed other industry users. We've been approached by various industries to say, we don't need clean drinking water. If you can give us partially purified wastewater, we can go about with it. So, in the long term, as we reported also to South African Human Rights Commission, we're completing this feasibility study to use wastewater that is going to be coming from wastewater treatment works for reuse purposes through what you call Sebokeng reclamation plant. In the next few slides, I don't intend to take you through each and every intervention and exactly what it means. The department has given us close to 400 million for the current the pollution immediately, We have identified that catchment and Risprate, that 400 million. In here, we are unpacking exactly what's going to happen in this catchment, breaking it down per individual volumes and the grading that we want. Some of them will deal with them through the code system. Some of them that are small will also be given to local contractors. So Sebokeng, we intend to spend 6 million in the short term as a result of these short-term interventions that I've identified. What we have also done for the benefit of people that are looking for jobs and job opportunities, we have broken down the program into project components to say exactly what do we mean, gatehouse, administrative building, maintenance workshop, and the sort of services that we're going to be needing and what we have completed and not completed, the number of laborers that we're going to be needing in there per each intervention, so that when you go to the community and say, for the gatehouse, I need a builder, I need two general laborers, I need a plumber and a electrician. It also assists the communities to organize themselves and go through their own process in terms of how they're going to identify laborers. So these we have already presented at the steering committee to say for Sebokeng, we will need 110 people in the short term as part of our labor, local labor opportunities in those areas. Work with us, they then establish a structure in terms of ensuring that we're going to create those jobs. So in here, we just demonstrate the kind of interventions that we are doing there in terms of creating job opportunities, because it's quite critical. The bulk of the work will go towards Lioke, as I indicated, is a priority. Those pump stations are quite critical that I'm mentioning. These are pump stations, because they've not been pumping, that are leading to the most of the pollution. And indeed, they are a reason some of the sewer is flowing back into the individual households. You'll also see there that we're going to be put about 54 million on just unblocking and 61 million, over 100 million of the 313 million will just go towards unblocking. When there's a blockage, it has to be unblocked immediately as we're building our own capacity and working with Mercy to build its own capacity. On the other hand, we're not waiting. We are unblocking so that sewer can actually leave the townships, leave the towns, go into the pump stations. As we refurbish them, as we upgrade them, they will then pump into wastewater treatment works. What we have also done for the purposes of the reasons that I've also mentioned, insofar as the stakeholder engagement, we have also taken that and given indication of exactly how many people are going to be required for each intervention and what does that intervention entail. The essence of the presentation is not to take you through each and every of those interventions, but to give you comfort, portfolio committee members, that we are also, as we're spending money, as we are upgrading, as we are refurbishing, creating job opportunities to our people, given that this area is also characterized by joblessness, poverty, and deprivation. So in the short term, we are anticipating to create close to 200 job opportunities. Some of them may be short term, but we're giving people hope. And indeed, as the program and as we upgrade and get into long term interventions, we'll also ensure that other job opportunities are created. But finally, as we move towards conclusion, what we have identified or adopted is the Renota model that talks to stakeholder engagement. This model has worked for us, and I'm happy that in all our projects, over 100 projects that we have in 4 provinces of Rainwater, none of our project has been stopped because of this socioeconomic development model that we have developed. And this is the model that we are also rolling out in here. It's really centered around job creation. People want jobs. People want to know how many jobs are you going to create What are the opportunities? How many unskilled, semi-skilled professionals, youth, women, and people with disabilities are going to benefit from the scheme, and how do you prioritize them? As soon as you are upfront and open about that, there's that understanding. Two, people also just don't want jobs. People want to be given the skills so that after the project, they are able to go out there and seek job opportunities for themselves. So we have found that people are also hungry to develop themselves. So part of our intervention is to say, what skills are we going to develop? So training is extremely important. And then we also work closely with our Rainwater Foundation to also develop the skills so that when we exist with the interventions, people are on their own. Some of them, they are able to have their own businesses around plumbing and in the community. They can work with Mercy Alekwa or the municipalities to deal with those things locally. And we also work with cooperatives, NPOs, schools, and parks in terms of ensuring that the project, as it was, has got social responsibility function. Social facilitation is important because on a continuous basis, you have to communicate. We have found that the appointment of CLOs locally in collaborations with IPs and SEDs in other areas locally where people can go and understand what is happening has actually been very helpful. But lastly, the issues of local enterprises. There are people that say, we don't want jobs. We don't want skills. We have our own outfits. We have our own grading. We just need to be empowered. We are CIDB 2, we are CIDB 3. Some of them are high CIDBs. Where are the opportunities? Where are we going to see them? So we also establish an opportunity where it's transparent, where it's equitable. We advertise in the community in compliance with people PFA, where people can start applying. And if you don't get the job, you're just open about it. You know why you didn't get the job, where you fell short, who was appointed, why was they appointed, what was their score, and what was your score. So as soon as you deal with the issues of transparency and deal with it in this way, we're starting to see, even in Sibuke, that our project has not been stopped. And together with other interventions, it has been helpful. So I think what we are reporting in here is that we are making progress. We have started, and we have the support of the communities to deal with the issues of sewer pollution in this area. What we have done so that we are held accountable, not only by the community, by the department, perhaps even by the portfolio committee, by South African Human Rights Commission, we have given them the short-term program and the long-term program to say, this is what is going to be delivered and when. So when we report, we don't report globally. We say, this is what we promised to do. This is how we are progressing. Why are we not achieving certain things? What support do we need? Where we're running ahead of ourselves, we're running ahead of ourselves in terms of the project implementation. So the beauty about this is we have taken all these tasks. We have put them in the Gantt chart over a period of time so you can see what activity is coming, when it's going to start, and when it's going to end. Later on, when it comes to the portfolio committee, we'll just be taking, this is what we said we have done, and this is how far we are, and this is the project progress insofar as the intervention. So what we have done, we've taken all these things that I have mentioned, per catchment to say, in this catchment, this is what we're going to do. This is how long the site preparation is going to take. This is how long this assessment is going to take so that we don't take forever in doing the assessment. And in the next quarter, in quarter three in 2022, as an example, we start going to be doing the execution of work, which has already started in this last quarter. I thought I should just, in these few slides, indicate some of the remedial action insofar as the rehabilitation of this site is concerned. With our Rainwater Foundation, we have identified problematic areas that we have seen here in this slide through Google Earth, where we show where the challenges are, possibly going to cause algal blooms. And we have learned with the work that we have done with our colleagues in Hartlepoort Dam and Riflay, some of the interventions that we need to put in place to deal with some of the stagnant water in the catchments that we're currently effecting to deal with that program. So we are going to be taking some of the challenges, some of the lessons learned from those areas into this area. Just as I move towards conclusion, of course, the project like this also comes with challenges, and as I indicated, we're addressing them one at a time. The issue of safety and security, it was a big issue, and we have applied for the for our site to be national key point. That will probably take time, maybe not even approved. Working very closely with security services providers and SAPs to do proper assessment for us to get these national key point accreditation going. But I think that our best defense, as resolved in the steering committee, is that safety and security of our sites is the responsibility of the communities at work. We want the community to take ownership of this. We have also seen in recent times, just last week, in GM, there are other people that wanted to block the site. The community says, who are you to stop this project? This is our project. We don't know you. We have agreed in the steering committee that we'll keep the sites open. And that in itself provided security for our employees on site. So I think more than getting this to the national key point, but we have found what has been working extremely well is that the community taking responsibility of their sites, precisely because we are talking and engaging with them. And I'm happy to report that the stoppages that we have following the workshop that we had in the third of November, as we have reported before, there are no stoppages as we speak, because people are just wanting to know what are the job opportunities that are there. They are demanding work, they're demanding employment, and engagement is really a win. So the two project steering committee meetings that we had have resulted in opening of those sites. And the last part, which is what we wanted to conclude, is to ensure that we conclude on the due diligence that is currently underway. Of the remaining contracts from the department to come in here. But it's a matter that the DG and I are attending to. We are at the tail end of resolving that. So Chair, I think in a nutshell, for us, we are bringing that message, the message that we are working, we have started, we have and already engaged South African Human Rights Commission. We have given them the progress report. They were pleased with our progress. In fact, they have also have underground monitors. Underground monitors provided their own independent reports to say, yes, Renault and the department, together with the municipalities and the province and the ministry, they are intervening and we are working, we are starting to have progress. The issues of rehabilitation that are coming in the next phase, Human Rights Commission was particularly pleased. And indeed, there is that message of hope. There is that light at the end of the tunnel. People are understanding that this is going to be a long-term project. There's going to be intervention. And indeed, it's a big elephant. You have to bite it by bite-sized chunks. And they are seeing those bites that are coming through. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are you implying I'm a woman?
Sorry, from the demo.
I had names that were up already when we stopped earlier on. It was Memushala, it was Metseke. That's those two hands. If anyone wants to ask questions or make contribution, can you raise your hands? Mercy Opesungwe, good afternoon, ma'am. I haven't seen or spoken to for some time. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
No, thanks so much, Chairperson. My first question is going to go to the presenters of the city of Tshwane, more especially on the Rooival case. Chairperson, the Rooival case It is one of the criminality against the people of South Africa by the department. Many of the water infrastructure in South Africa has created struggle for communities not receiving clean water. Hence, we just heard now about the issue of Vaal River as well. At last, action by the affected citizen on violation of constitutional rights against the department is the only way that the citizenry can receive social justice. Number two, Chairperson, huge amounts were spent on the blue and the green drop reports undertaken by the department. Why is there no remedial action on the findings? Earlier, Minister Mthunu, when he briefed us on Tshwane, he talked of advisors that will respond to the findings of the South African Human Rights Commission on Hammanskraal. Has the department appointed advisors or consultant to undertake this function? Can the minister please provide more details in this regard? The other question, Chairperson, which department is monitoring the USDG grant spent on Hammanskraal by the city of Tshwane? And lastly, directive instituted against the city of Tshwane for sewage spillages and environmental damage. Your regulatory and compliance mechanism do not use the legislative components to effect punitive actions. How are you strengthening your regulatory unit as it over the years been one of the weakest in terms of budget and legislative reform? Chairperson, on the Vaal River, a court order was awarded by the Save the Vaal organization to add national and provincial players, including the Department of Finance and the Department of Transportation. Is Save the Vaal organization proceeding on its court action? What is the response of the Department of Water and Sanitation? The second question, Chairperson, on the Vaal River. Do you have reports or findings from the previous implementing agent? That is the South African National Defense Force on remedying the Vaal River system, because I can see now you are busy trying to rescue the situation, but you have the report, because we cannot just always start with a new thing without revisiting what happened before. So do you have the report in terms of that? Another thing, Chairperson, has the department issued any directive to the Mfuleni municipality? Is there any attempt by the department to take court actions against Mfuleni as it did with the city of Tshwane? Why is there discrepancies between the two? Because we can hear when you talk about the Vaal River, it seems like Mfuleni never existed here. We don't hear you talking about the Mfuleni. Did you take any actions against them? Chairperson, on page 8 and 9, Rand Water tells on short, medium, and long-term intervention. On page 8 and 9, the Rand Water talks of short, medium, and long-term intervention, but they are not tangible time frames. Can we get them so that we can be able to do our oversight on what you have started now? Chairperson, when the minister was also presenting on the Vaal River, the minister spoke about the people that were blocking the project in Vaal River to resume. And I think, Chairperson, the reason why people are behaving like that
It is because of lack of unemployment. People are not working. People are suffering of poverty because of the failure of the current state, the ruling party, the governing state. So my question is, how did you handle that situation, Minister? Where are those people? Because the reason why they are doing all those things is because hunger and poverty is chasing them out of their houses to go to those places. More especially, they know is the areas of the department or the areas of the government. They were thinking that you can come and assist them, at least in terms of employing them. What did you do to rescue the situation and to ensure that those people cries are heard too? So I also heard lastly that you are fixing the leaks when water infrastructure is failing. Isn't going to be a recurrent problem, rather fix the institutions that are obligated by law to effectively and systematically ensure continuous maintenance. Thank you, Chair. I'm done. That is my last question.
Thanks very much, Chair. Let me also welcome the two presentations by Randota and the department. Chair, the Onval, at some point, Honorable Mhlala, it's right to say your South African National Defence Force was on site. And I think we have not yet get the progress report in terms of the work that was undertaken. And secondly, when we visited the Sebokeng wastewater treatment plant, ERVAT was on site, Chair, and we have not yet received the progress report in terms of the work done. And I'm not quite sure, because now we have appointed Rand Water. Is the contract for ERVAT terminated? Because one, I understand that those are the specialists in the water wastewater treatment plant work. Chair, because I'm raising this matter, because it looks like Rand Water is starting from scratch. I think it is important that you reflect, even if it's not today, but you reflect the work that has been done previously by the previous entities. Secondly, Chair, there was a rollover of 500 million to this project, which was confirmed by the Minister of Finance in the MTBPS. Just want to check whether this budget or this money is already committed, or is it a new budget that is going to address the challenges that we are facing in the Val project. Chair, I must also welcome the job opportunities and the number of people that have been identified to be employed in the area, because it was an outcry when we visited the Sebokeng water treatment plant. We welcome that, Chair. Our people, unemployment is high in our country, and I think we have to take responsibility too as the Department of Water and Sanitation. On the issue of war on leaks, I also welcome the presentation, Chair, and I hope that those learners that have been trained by government or by the department are also employed, Chair, because it was an outcry in the previous years throughout the country that we are not taking care of those learners as much as we have spent a lot of budget in training them. And we know and understand that the municipalities do not have capacity, actually, in terms of appointing those learners. Chair, on the issue of the pollution, I think at a certain point we must get the, we know mostly people who are polluting are our own communities. And we appreciate the advocacy campaigns wherein we'll engage our communities in terms of cleaning and not throwing waste in our own rivers, our own dams. But I think at a certain point, we must get the list of industries or companies that are continuously polluting our dams and rivers and how the department is dealing with them. Because remember that they must pay. We should not leave the situation the way it is. Those who are polluting our rivers, they must be able to pay so that we can be able to take care of the situation. On the rivers, I think, Minister, we must just accept that there's no progress report. We went there twice, if not thrice, as the portfolio committee. We made some recommendations. We interacted with them, actually, in Parliament. And there were recommendations that were brought to the city of Tshwane and the department. But it looks like there's no progress. Unfortunately, the city of Tshwane is not here. We wanted them to, but because of the current situations there, they can't be able to be here. Chair, I think we are failing the communities around Hammanskraal, Themba, and the surrounding villages, Chairperson. We can't continuously give the people of those areas the water that is not of quality. Chair, there are lots of grants that are given to the city of Tshwane. And actually, my question would be, why are we continuously giving the city of Tshwane the grants that we are allocating to them? As much as they're defying your directive, they are not addressing the issues of water challenges that are affecting our own communities around Hammanskraal. Chairperson, the issue of grants is very important because in other municipalities, when you look at the women settlement or in other provinces, municipalities are taking these grants to pay salaries. So we must guard against that thing, especially when we are having challenges like this in the city of Tshwane, a chairperson. On the issue of safety and security, yes, we are concerned about the cable theft that is there and the vandalism of our water infrastructure. And I think at a certain point, the minister and both the minister and the deputy ministers must just give us a progress report in terms of declaring our water infrastructure as a national key point. This is very important, Chair, so that we should not waste money in addressing all the challenges of the Chair, I think that's in terms of our constitutional obligation as the country. The constitution is very clear that everyone has a right to have access to sufficient food and water in our country. And Parliament has enacted the Water Services Act of 108 of 1997. And Section 63 is very clear, Chairperson, that when a water service authority is failing to discharge its responsibility, the national department must kick in and take full responsibility and control over the water infrastructure. So I just want to pose this question to the minister. Started in 2019 and have not started in 2020 or 2021. There has been there. So why are you not intervening as the national department? Why are you not taking over? So that the people of this country can have confidence in us and in charge to say that yes, we are addressing their challenges, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson.
Hello. Thank you, Chairperson. I would also like to appreciate the presentation, but member of this committee, not as an alternate. So I'll be able to have an opportunity or an advantage also when they are visiting and so on. So thank you very much, Chair. Mine is not going to be a lot, but I would suggest that at some point, the city of Tshwane needs to be invited after the situation is normalized so that they need to respond to some of issues raised here, because honestly, for us, it's an embarrassment for us as a country that Human Rights Commission had to step in to intervene and make us to do our work. So if there was no intervention of Human Rights Commission, because obviously, when Human Rights Commission comes in, it means the rights of citizens have been trampled upon. So we are not able to do work without being monitored by other institutions. So we need to, there's a lot which needs to be done. And especially on the issue of non-compliance, we need to look into that. Monitoring and regular evaluation of projects. For the fact that the committee did make the portfolio committee did make suggestions and recommendations, but it seems as if it was just a wasteful expenditure. There's still a low progress of projects like the inlet improvement of the inlet works, which is still 4%, slash the water and design procurement installation of wells. Those are some of the things which need to be discussed in that. So if we could find time after some time, after everything is fine with Chuan, let's have a discussion on that. But other than that, I don't want to waste time because other members have already raised, and my interest also has always been the war on leaks and on the students which have been taken to training. And there are a batch of students which are still on training. If they come back and then whatever resources which have been used to train such students will also go to waste if we don't utilize them.
Honorable Teki.
Chairperson, I think from what the members have said and the presentation from the department, maybe in, in the next meeting, we need to identify the problem first to say, do we still have spillage? Do we have drinking water in Hammans Kraal at Temba? If the answer is no, then we should just focus on we don't have money. We can't resolve this matter. We don't have resources. We can't resolve this matter. So that issues must, you know, when you deal with a project, Chair, it's having a start and an end. It can be a project forever. So that would be my appeal, Chair, because this issues of Royval, it's really, if it was in another organization, I think consequence management should have been applied a long time. Thank you.
No, unfortunately, Honorable Tseki, we have got no other way to can go. Once you have declared something a constitutional matter, you cannot say, I have got no money, therefore I can't do it forever. Meaning that if you take that decision, you will imply that the people that you are supposed to serve on that project, you are now taking away their constitutional right to benefit from you. So the minister does not have that luxury or latitude to can say to us, no, my budget will not address the water in Mamelodi. Therefore, I am now declaring that I will not deal with that because it is constitutional that he should. So, yes, I agree with you that at some point we must not generalize, we must ask questions. Do we still have, for instance, the writing minister said in the presentation, in 2017, we had flash and just unclean water running into the river valve system, meaning that the people who are getting water from valve were literally getting raw sludge into their pipe or into the river for them to drink. And what members is asking, and has that status changed in your presentation? What is the progress thus far? And I'm happy, Minister Mkulu, your approach was to go and do what is generally called the inspection in loco. And I think then the what follows must be what having done the inspection in loco, what is the report that you got as handover report, and therefore your plan is it informed by responding to those that which is what you have seen having been given them. Don't get a sense of, at some point we were told that the manner in which Mfuleni was so indebted to loan sharks and banking systems. If you buy cars and give them, those sharks and the banking processes can take the cars and the tools you are giving to them because they are owing quite a lot of money. I'm not hearing what is the status quo in terms of that is concerned. I'm deployed in Tswane, specifically in Mamelodi, by Parliament. My PCO is in Mamelodi. The reality of the matter is that indeed, for instance, and Minister, we had Minister Kutsonedi working with us during elections. 2 or 3 days, he came to the meeting and complained that he must go back because he did not wash in the morning. There was no water in Waterkloof. if we know what Waterkloof represents in the city of Tshwane, if there is no water in Waterkloof, where I think the minister is also saying, then it means it's a problem. The pipe you're talking about in Lodiam, when the city was just refusing to take ownership that they did not work on that pipe, when they know they did not. When we went to Royval as the committee, where the DA councillor there, very honest, no politics he was talking about, he told us that one of the reasons that water is not purified in Tshwane is that the contract which was appointed by the city a year later was cancelled immediately when the politics changed hands from ANC to DA. For good reason, it might be that the DA said, no, we want to put our own because we have got a better working. That's fine if that's the case. Politics is about that. But then they don't appoint anyone. For 2 years in succession, they do not appoint anyone. So the water is just being, the system, the water is not purified and so forth and so on. Consequences, what are those? We don't hear that. But I think the members have already asked quite a number of questions. But the other thing is that we need to separate. At the time that because the person who must give water to the people is the municipality, not the department. Now, when you act because you are now taking over on the basis of failure by the minister, the municipality. But please communicate that to the voters, because that's the problem of our government. You do good work, but you if took a cruise to go and see the problems in Val and that which you found, what is it? But it could we not have had this meeting? We could not have known, because you don't communicate to even to ourselves as parliament. I know, and it's a fact, that people that are blocking the systems and blocking the pipe are business people that are running these water tanks. We know them, some we hear of them. We don't hear a position that we are taking to want to crucially deal with such tendencies. And this is it's in the country. You can see it is, to me, it is no longer a criminal offense. It's a political offense. You can see that it is people that sit somewhere, plan and do these things in order to blossom their business. In all over the show, you will have heard that Mgeni River, that has happened. In all the big river systems where we have got people that are having these tankers, they sabotage us not to deliver water because we must have got no option but to use their tanker system. What are we doing about it? Because it is proven in Tshwane, I've seen it in Val, I've seen it in Giani, we have seen it. It is business people that if you dare touch to work on the system for it to be operative, you are tilting the balance of force unto them succeeding as business people, and we are not saying anything about that. And the Section 63. That you wanted to, that you're proposing to invoke it as soon as yesterday. Not be apologetic, because you are not talking politics there. You are addressing the needs of the people, irrespective of their political affiliation, constitutional. Invoke that clause. It is important. I haven't seen any other hand. I will allow you to respond, Minister, and your department.
Thank you very much, Chair, and the Honourable Chair, and the Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation. I will request that Deputy Minister Mahlobo and the acting head, acting DDG in the department and the CEO of Randwater also respond, including the head of water and sanitation in Gauteng, Mr. Mapungula, to respond later, but I'll start by taking some of the questions that were asked, starting with the Honorable Member Mohlala. On processing issues from Hammerskraal, I'll link that with Gauteng. Issues that are arising regarding Tswane. But first, I agree that the issue of Tswane has been around for some time, long before we were appointed, and that we got into it, and I've explained what we have done so far. Now, on the advisors that the Honourable Member is asking about, Minister has two advisors. Those are the advisors that I'm referring to. They are already there. We don't need to appoint any other. They are at work, as I'm saying, to advise us basically on advisability on and processes that we have to go through, the legal ones in the main, so that we are we operate on a clear on clear legal terms. Should we be challenged, it's very important that we establish that for ourselves and be clear in terms of taking over of water in Tswane. The reports of the Human Rights Commission they are there. The reports on the visit of the portfolio committee are there. Reports on interaction between ourselves and the city of Tswane and the people of Tswane on this matter are clear. They put everything, but we just want to make sure, and I'm saying on the 26th, if I'm not mistaken, already this month, we will table all these matters and consider whatever we'll get from the advisors and take a final decision on intervention in Hammerskraal. But we have also started to say, should all of us on the 26th, sitting with the department, reach that consensus from all points of view, because you have to consider money, you have to consider legalities, you have to consider. We have already consulted with the Premier of Gauteng, is of that view very strongly. We have to consider the other aspects so that we don't make an announcement that we're taking over and we don't move a cent, everything is there and so on. I mean, it's just stand still. We have to make sure that when we say we are intervening, then the following week, let alone the following month, there should be clear decisiveness that we have intervened in Tswane. Those are the things that need to be processed in the main. Now, that's coming on the 26th. We will interact with the portfolio committee once we reach that decision, and the procedures will follow and every other thing. I do want, however, to say, let's not exaggerate the issue of Hammerskraal in terms of accessing drinking water beyond what it is in terms of our reports. The community that depends on the timber the system that supplies timber is the one that is on point here. Randwater does provide water to Hammerskraal, and there's no problem. The Magalis Water Board also provides water to a part of Hammerskraal, and there's no problem. The only part that is giving us a problem is the part that is supplied by or supposed to be supplied by Tswane. It's not of the whole of Maskral, and that is the status quo as we talk. But just to conclude, we are saying we've intervened at a level where we get to collect the information. We are now we are processing the legal and the financial part. But I must say, on the other hand, there's something that has advanced. And what has advanced is the department interacting with Rand Water on Hammanskraal as a whole. And one of the reports we are therefore going to be considering on the 26th is the recommendations of the department coming from Rand Water on Hammanskraal. No, not Hammanskraal alone, just on Tswane as a whole, not just Hammanskraal. And I've read the report in parts, and it's an interesting report, but it department will then indicate the financial part of it. And so we are actually arming ourselves and towards we're at an advanced stage in terms of arming ourselves so that we take an informed decision, and that will include the recommendation by the department following the recommendation by Rand Water on Tswane as a whole. So it's not just the advisors from a legal and financial point of view, assisted by the department, but it's also going to come via the department from their interaction with the Rand Water, and things are quite clear. And I'm hoping I'm making myself clear comprehensively about Tswane and the Hammanskraal. We are aware of Section 63, and we are aware that it has to go with Section 139, which the province need to assist us on. It's not Section 63 alone. It has to come with it has to come together with the 161 with the another act, that is 139. We have to that is what we have to process in relation to what the advisors are saying, so that if Gauteng government has to intervene, they facilitate that part, because Section 63, you don't invoke it alone. Now, all of that should be clear by or on the 26th when we meet as a with ministry and the department. Number two will be asked and three will be responded to by acting DG. Now, let me deal with the VAR. Firstly, the report of the army. We have received the report. I think we did that in the first few weeks when we after being appointed here. But what is missing up to now in terms of is with regard to how finances were used. And that should come in the form of a closeout report during the time of the intervention by the South African Defence Force. That we don't have. That should come, and that will have to come. Now, but we know what they did and what they didn't do, and the outcomes thereof, and non-outcomes, we are fully aware of that. The next question close to that is around Mfuleni directives. I will ask acting head of Gauteng, Mapungula, to send the directives that have been sent to Mfuleni in the past to the secretariat of the portfolio committee, so that that can be shared with all the members of the portfolio committee. But in short, there have been interventions by DWS with regard to Mfuleni, and those by and large would not have succeeded, because if they succeeded, in other words, if they had desirable outcomes, we wouldn't be in a position that we are in today. So there has been demonstration of incapacity beyond any doubt with regard to Mfuleni municipality. On time frames, I will ask CE of Randwater to respond, because the presentation that he was that he did here does give a clue, even if they may not be in a position to state the year and so on, the year and month of completion, but they should be very close in terms of assessment as to what could be the time frame. We're also very interested in the time frame specifically, so that we can monitor properly, all of us. Now, Honorable Member Mohlala asked us a question: how did we respond? So first, she makes an opinion that the reason why there was a blockade by some members of the community and some organizations and some people seeking work in the plant in the Vaal, why they were blocking is because of the economic situation. And the Honourable Member goes on to say is the failure of the governing party. And then she wants to ask us, how did we respond to that? Areas that could enable meaningful interaction between the department via Randwater in particular and the interested parties there. It even gives the count of people that might have job opportunities there and their categories. And we understand the situation that people are in a situation where we know the state of affairs of unemployment in the country at the moment. And so I'm talking to the report first, that the report does deal with that in terms of what categories that could produce jobs and what those jobs would be and how many they would be at a particular stage and so on. That is the first aspect. The second aspect to the question is the one where the Honorable Member says is the failure of the governing party. Firstly, let me point out the contradiction. If the governing party was that failure, as Honourable Member seeks to project, she wouldn't have proceeded to ask us how did we respond. Because if you are a failure, how do you respond? How do you expect us to respond if we are a failure? There's a contradiction, but we can manage it. And manage it very well to say the governing party isn't alone in the efforts to resolve economic problems in the country and shouldn't be alone. Firstly, that reference, I would take it that it refers to the executive with the total exclusion of parliament, which is a major error in the assessment of the Honourable Member. South Africa has three arms of government. There's the executive, there's parliament, and then there's the judiciary. When there is an issue like unemployment and the economic situation in the country, you can't exclude parliament. As a matter of fact, I was eagerly waiting for the Honorable Member Mohlala to maybe suggest alternatives in terms of how we could respond to the job demands in relation to the Vaal and not choose to overlook what has been presented, but continue to say that the governing party, the failure and ask for response. I've provided the response of how we have responded via Randwater in very great detail. But I'm going further to say, if the honourable member has some alternative of suggestions of how we can create jobs in the Vaal in relation to this, she can present those. But I can indicate that when we gathered in Vaal with the Premier of Gauteng and his delegation and all the role players, the Premier did outline to the to those who were gathered there how planning to change the situation in the Vaal around and what plans they have in detail in terms of what potential they have identified and how they are angling to turn that potential into reality. And that is part of the governing party at the provincial level. Those plans via the government of Gauteng or the legislature of Gauteng. But I do want overall to close up by saying that no honourable member in Parliament should exclude themselves from the effort of ensuring a resolution of current challenges of economic growth in the country. If there is such a member, I would say that that would be grandstanding and that would be irresponsible of such a member to say, I've nothing to do with the economic challenges in the country. I don't want to make any contribution. All I want is to criticize the governing party. But criticism is welcome as part of body politic in the country. But you should proceed after criticism to say, this is my suggestion, this is my proposal, and let it be rejected, and then you can come over with more criticism. But if you don't offer anything, anything at all, then it becomes a problem. But then maintenance, between 40 and 45%, that's an estimate of water that we lose in the country, both nationally and per municipality in the country. Obviously, it's a challenge of municipalities and then ourselves to lose been pointed. So municipalities may be paying for leaks in part, up to 40% of what they pay to water boards and elsewhere. And therefore, the situation needs to be addressed. What is our plan? Our plan, firstly, is to take stock of the last 5 years of the money that we sent to municipalities and metros. What do they do with it? What have they been doing with it? Take stock and look at the trend. The honourable member is quite right that it could be that people turn the grants into salaries. We are very much conscious and very concerned about that situation, hence our study backwards 5 years, so that we arrive at a conclusion that that municipality in the last 5 years has been acting like this, as far as WISIC, that is the Water Infrastructure Grant, and the RPIC, the Regional Infrastructure Grant. And then when we speak in specific terms relating to that particular municipality, their conduct and behavior. But we have that suspicion at the moment, and we're angling to getting ourselves to getting on top of the situation in terms of specifics. We gave you for the first year, fourth year, third year, we gave you so much. In that year, you did. This is what you did with the infrastructure grant on water and sanitation. You David, and I do want to say, I've had personally had two visits in Cape Town, I don't think all of us sitting here understand the situation of sewer in Philippi and in Khayelitsha. I've never seen it anywhere in the country. People literally, when you open your window in your dwelling, it's sewer. And when you get out, you walk the whole street. It's a river of sewer. And I didn't know that Cape Town has a bucket as a part of their sanitation system. Then we have to take stock. Firstly, going backwards, and then on those spaces, we start saying, okay, in this municipality, this is the situation. They have not been using, and then we start asking for accountability on the money that they've been getting on infrastructure, but they have diverted it elsewhere. And we're going to then start ring fencing all the grants that are sent to municipalities, and not just ring fence them, monitor them, and in some cases withhold them, but not up until the end of the financial year, but withhold them while at the same time organizing our. So that we intervene. We don't withhold money until the end of the financial, but we withhold it. And then we go straight to that municipality and then execute. We have water boards in each of the provinces or covering all the provinces. So we should be able to intervene with that kind of a capacity. That's our plan, and we are seeking support of the portfolio committee in that approach, and I've already recorded some strong statements from some of the members that indicating that we are empowered, and we agree with you 100%. We've started that in, that section 63, and we will act accordingly. And before end of December, we are going to be making two submissions along those lines. One will be Umkhanyakude municipality in KZN, the other one will be Tswane, possibly along those lines. Now, let me go on. Defense Force, I've covered that we don't have a comprehensive report covering finances. We do have a report, but not covering, which we got. And department was telling us that they've been struggling with this for some time, and it's a matter of concern. ERVAT, we were given also a report on ERVAT for their contract of 12 months, which in our view didn't result in any a plausible outcome. And probably it's something on which we should have done and we could have done better. But we ended up paying those people a particular amount of money and without much to show in terms of work on the ground. And the contract was not renewed after 12 months. That is the report we got from the department. And so we're parted ways with ERVAT, and I'm quite concerned with that. And we should have been more careful in dealing with ERVAT. But that is now behind us, except that we remain concerned with that. Then has committed to the VAR. We have to look at them and the depth of the issues that have to be tackled, including some of the things that have to be replaced all together or some repaired and so on. And that is what should come from the implementing agent in the few weeks to come. And then we'll be certain about what we're doing. But at the moment, we have committed money initially, and that has been signed off. so that the project could start and start in earnest and show that we are moving and get to some conclusion at some point. What on leaks that was in the department is that we are closing program, but on a rather low note, because the SIU was requested to intervene and investigate that, and we are waiting for the proclamation from the president. They have done the application. But our internal audit report, points to a project that went right. In other words, it went wrong, almost from conception to implementation, overlooking all the prescripts, and finally, we are sitting with problems, a large amount of 3 billion spent, and but with little in terms of outcomes to show. I think the concept was, there was nothing wrong with the concept, but step one in implementation went wrong, and then right up to where we are. But we are now saying there's no money that is going to be committed to this project or program going forward. The war on leaks department, the municipalities will be directed to deal with that. And the main thing that we're going to be emphasizing to municipalities on war on leaks is to say, let's replace, let's determine the cause, the root causes of leaks. Most of the pointers are pointing towards old infrastructure. Now, mayors choose to talk about old infrastructure the whole of their terms. You go back and then the mayor says, yeah, well, there is a problem of old infrastructure without taking steps financially and otherwise towards that. And want to stop that and say, now, look, we're losing water in those cities. The city of Mangaung, for instance, they showed us a picture which was rather almost gruesome, saying, this is where we lose. Response, they couldn't point at anything tangible, which was similarly talking hot stuff on the leaks. So we may have wanted to declare war on leaks, but we may not have studied carefully the root causes of the leaks, and therefore get there. We thought maybe in part that if you recruit people and they go around identifying, and then you could get there, but that was not linked to the kind of expenditure that went on to experience. In terms of the impact, it's a problem. That's what I could alert members of the portfolio committee on. Contractors in the Val and the CE will respond on that. No progress on Roy Val, I agree with that. There's no progress. There isn't much progress, but what Mapungula was presenting, it does show there is progress. Our concern, as we concluded in the mid-range interaction with the mayor of Tswane, was that there is very little, and if you give it a time frame going forward, it's going to take too long, hence the intervention that we're deciding on finally by the end of this month. Now, we've done water infrastructure well as a key point. It's something that we are considering that maybe we find a way of making a submission and proposing this to the executive, that is to cabinet. This is a very scarce resource. It's a very sensitive and emotional issue. We were talking yesterday addressing the affected people around Gauteng because of the major repairs, the major interventions, both repairs and upgrades by Randwater. It's a very delicate issue. Other people are asking us, why now? Why not yesterday or last week or last year? And we were patient to respond properly on those issues. And we hope that most of the people who heard us feel satisfied with the information we gave them, why now, and so on. The infrastructure, removing old infrastructure, put new infrastructure, augment some of the infrastructure that we have where it requires augmentation, replace where it needs, and then add more infrastructure, because it looks like we're getting to a situation a vast majority of South Africans, if not all, are going to depend on piped water. Metro or town or rural, people are going to be heavily dependent on piped water, and that calls for heavy infrastructure across the country. And that's where our money, most of it, should go going forward. And we've started starting the budget and want to actually influence the expenditure around those lines while fencing and ensuring that we spend correctly. Hammanskraal, I've responded. Inspection in loco, yes, we did inspection in loco, heavy. It took us almost a whole day, three quarters of the day, and we were satisfied with the work that we did. It was not, we're not touring, we're not cruising, we were actually at work, and we see the benefits of our work, what we got to understand, which we had no clue about before. Who are better people and will continue to learn and so on from with the ministers to lead the portfolio of interacting with the portfolio committee on our programs. We shouldn't be a perception that we are reluctant to get the portfolio informed portfolio committee and portfolio editing ministers to be a lead person in terms of interacting with the portfolio committee so that we don't leave any stone unturned in terms of our relations and our interaction, working relations with the portfolio committee. At this stage, I will ask first the acting DG if she has anything to add, and then the CE, and then Mahlobo in that order, if we could be fast so that we don't take more of the portfolio committee's time. Thank you. Well, if the acting DG isn't taking any matter up, CE, in the meantime.
I'm here, Minister. Just I was trying to unmute. The question I'm going to respond to, number one, is the USDG grants. The USDG grants are human settlement grants. In the Department of Water, we do not have grants for metros. So and our grants we monitor such that they are not used for salaries. That's why we have 5B, which is direct, and that is to municipalities that we have some trust on that they will be able to deliver. And then we've got 6D, where we would have assessed capacity. In the past, there are mistakes that were done in the past where we issued grants without checking the capacity. But now we are very strict on checking capacity. There are certain compliance rules that the municipality or the water services authorities to comply with. That is why we, at the moment, have on our budget delays in transferring. It is because certain conditions have not been met. We are aware, though, that that withholding does harm to the intended beneficiaries. But unfortunately, we would not want to be reckless in giving money out without checking capacity and making sure that the money will be used for water infrastructure and nothing else. On the issue of strengthening of the regulatory function, we have recently finalized the restructuring. with the former minister, and we, although we are, there are glitches to the structure, and the minister, Minister Mthunu, is going to be looking at the structure to whether we are going to review it or not. But one of the things that we have achieved with that structure is that at regional level, regional office or provincial offices, they are directly the director. From our learning academy, we had graduate trainees that were put in regulation where they acquired experience, and some of them have been absorbed there. Over and above that, we also have outsourced the function on the blue drop and the green drop report or assessment. Now, I just want to emphasize, if you allow me, honorable members, the green drop is an assessment. It is not, it doesn't necessarily result in the improvement of infrastructure of the wastewater treatment. The green drop is for the wastewater treatment plants, and the blue drop is for the drinking water systems. Now, the report gives you an assessment of the condition. How are things looking like? So if we reproduce those reports and the responsible authorities do nothing with those reports are not going to be of benefit to the country. They only become of benefit to the country when the entities that are responsible for such take action on those. From the regulatory point of view, we can take action against the water services authorities. However, that's a lengthy process, and as we do that, the resources get impacted negatively. So sometimes it is best the water services authorities first and exhaust anybody to court. So that's how we are strengthening the regulatory function. We will still there because the learning academy is continuing to have intakes. So even next year, from the intakes from the learning academy, we will place some of the graduate trainees in the regulation branch so that they will assist. We recently had some contractors on regulation, but that was not for pollution necessarily. That was for water use authorization, that is licensing of for water use. We are currently trying to absorb. We absorbed some already into the structure where they were posed and where they competed for those posts, and some were successful and others were not successful. We are trying with HR to see as to what it is that we can do to increase some posts there so that we can absorb more of those even at our provincial level. So that's how we are strengthening the regulation bench in the department. Thank you very much, Minister and the Chairperson.
Chair, I'll ask the CE for his intervention. CE.
Yes, thank you, Minister. Just in terms of the questions that were relevant to us from Honourable Member Mohlala, the first one that deals with the no tangible timeframes in terms of the short, medium, and long term. I think the Minister, you have answered that one. I think the Gantt chart, Honourable Member Mohlala, that I provided gives the detail of exactly what is going to happen when. Insofar as those interventions are concerned, in respect to the budget that we currently have, in the outer years, in terms of the long term, I think as it has been indicated, we are doing assessments and budget availability, then we craft a detailed plan of execution, because the plan is a function of the budget availability going forward. But in the presentation, we do provide those details that can chart to give a clear indication of what is going to be done when. The second question is around the interventions. I think what Honorable Member Mohlala, we indicate in the in one of the slides that deals with streams is exactly the point that you're making, that you cannot attend to an item of leaks without then dealing with the upgrades. You'll see when you talk about the budget that we have, it's spread across all the interventions that are needed. So you need to fix the leaks, but you need to upgrade, you need to refurbish, and then you need to do maintenance. So I think the interventions, it's not one fold, it's not one area. It's intended to cover the whole scope of work. And again, budget is a challenge. What you do, you try to address the problem immediately and find a balance with the limited budget that you have to attend to those areas. But as a matter of fact, we are not only attending to one area of intervention, we are fixing the leaks, we are fixing the installations, and indeed it covers all the interventions that we need to do.
Then asking for the opportunity for TM Mahlobo if he has something to say, and that will be the end of our response. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Matunga, and thanks to Comrade Chair. And at least I hope Chair Faita Moshala is happy, Matunga is here and leading from the front. Just to confirm that issues, Minister, we have covered, but going forward with the portfolio committee, there will be areas that you as doing oversight, but also helping us. The issue of interventions, including the funding of interventions, is going to be one of the biggest issues that we need to put our heads together. And when we do appropriations and supported by yourselves as a portfolio committee, because the time since the minister came in and the deputy minister, the water is coming closer to the challenges of power generation in the country. And our attitude, and we're more geared to doing a lot of interventions and issues of resource mobilization. Like Minister has said, how we try to mobilize resources, but more resources need to be actually be brought in, because we must admit that over time, the country has neglected issues of investment in infrastructure to match with the growth in population and the growth in the GDP, because those two growths, they have an impact on the demand of infrastructure. The backlog is actually too much, let alone unlocking the economy. Therefore, as the minister said, we're looking to do that. We are respecting Chapter 9 institutions, as we need to confirm, and the relationship with the Human Rights Commission and other organizations will always be taken seriously by the minister and the department, because of the intensive work they do. And then as we're doing with Mfuleni, where ministers deployed rainwater, we'll be able that implementation plan that is so detailed that has been shared with you and stakeholders, it becomes ministers' commitment, and ours is to monitor that it actually does that. And the same thing we'll do, because that's the method of work minister wants us to work through, to be more detailed in terms of planning and getting these things right. Well, I think, Minister, we have covered well the issue of leaks, because the manner these things are being done, they are not scientific. There is an insistence by the ministry to respect the asset management philosophy. In other words, where we've been deployed by minister, the most important issue is that we must know where the assets are. A number of these institutions, they don't know. And then including the issues of conditional assessment in the state they are in. That's why minister is very clear for the example of Mangaung. We want actually, this is one of the problems that has happened over time, where professionals, they burn money, without the impact. And in reality, in South Africa, in the major towns and cities, in the main, the time to fix leaks is not there. The issue is about replacing old infrastructure and do all these other things. And then I'm also very happy that the issue of the national key point, we're looking at it as being said, but we're insisting around the issues of security plans and working with communities. On a lighter note, Comrade Chair, the minister will be leading us because it's a CR report, which Angakhala Mashego. Ungamali ke Mashego sisele impompo inkinga yakho yaseGiyani is attender yona ngolwesihlanu. But the minister will come back to you at the right time so that even when we're on the ground, you have a sense which is good presenter. With those words, thanks Macingwane and thanks to the chair and the entire collective of the Phofolo Committee.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Yes. Minister, is there anything you want to add?
Chairperson? Nothing, Chair, to add except just responding to City on Citibank. That's the only thing we that was sending.
Chairperson?
The minister is still responding.
No, it still is. A follow up on a certain response by the minister.
Don't you want to worry? Agree, Honorable Leon did ask for he be responded to in as a beginning point. Let's hear what the minister says about Citibank. When you come back, you can even allow another billion to come
My
back
follow-up
too.
My follow-up is about what we're discussing about now. Citibank is another topic out of Val and Swan. So I want to follow up on this one so that when we close this one, we are done. Then we move to Citibank.
Okay. Let me hear you.
You, as the chair of this portfolio committee, to advise the minister, he must not throw comments like political grandstanding against criticism. For that matter, Chairperson, we as the members of parliament from other political organizations as oppositions, we are contributing in parliament. We are contributing in the portfolio committee. We are giving our own recommendation, but it's up to the executive. If they take the little we give them as the remedial actions and use them for remedial actions, because it is wrong for the minister to say that members of parliament are not members of the EFF on the ground. We are on the ground. We are the one who are doing the monitoring for you and everything. We are the one who comes in this parliament to tell you that there's no water at Dr. J.S. Moroka. We come to this parliament to tell you that there's no water everywhere in the country. So how can we not contribute when we are always coming to you to tell you what is happening on the ground? So it is a fact the ANC government failed in 27 years. And don't ever run away from that. That is the reason why you see it's below 50%. The same applies in KZN where you come from. Below 50%. So don't have a minister come here and not allow criticism. We are here to assist you so that you can run this political, portfolio committee thoroughly
so that you can deliver to the best of your ability. So we're going to come here and tell you what is wrong. We're going to come here and tell you what is wrong on the ground. Don't ever put any political grandstand, because that will is the reason why you see the ANC on its knees today. Thank you so much. I just wanted to brief the minister so that he can know in future. It's not going to make me quiet in this portfolio committee. I'm going to keep engaging. Where we see something is wrong, we're going to come in this portfolio committee and tell and try to advise. And we are always doing that at all the times as members of the other political organization, more especially the EFF, who always comes and tells you where there's problems on the ground. Thank you.
Whoever is muting or unmuting people, never try to mute me. I'm sharing the meeting. So if I want to intervene in the meeting, you must allow me to intervene. You must never mute me.
They dealt with you, Chen, eh?
Yeah, sure, sure. You must never do that. If I'm intervening in the meeting, I'm intervening. And let me just raise the point. You must never do that. Whoever you muted me, you're making a big mistake. You must never do that. But and I think I don't want the minister to respond to what I'm saying, because it is wrong that only the EFF goes to the ground. Every when elections, all of us. So that assertion is wrong. So it might become grandstanding that it is being mentioned. Let's talk the work of what we are doing. We all as political parties are there. There are parties that have won seats, there are those that have lost seats. People were meeting them on the streets. They were working, all of us.
We are. In fact, to Mushala, if we are not giving any contribution, I'm saying we as the members of the EFF, we come from the ground, bring contribution to the portfolio committee. And it's absolutely...
Can you mute Mushala, please? Whoever...
Those contributions.
Mushala?
Whoever that is able to mute Mushala, please mute Mushala.
Mushala, I'm saying the minister was saying he would have expected you in your input, not yesterday or tomorrow. That if you have got something to make as input today in the input, he would have expected you to say so for him to can respond to your input. He never said. You have never made input in any discussions. He was saying he would have expected you today, in analyzing the report he's giving, that you can...
But the political standing will not assist him.
No. You are doing it even now. What you are doing it is really political standing. But can we get the minister speaking to the issue of Honorable Leon?
Thank you very much, Chair. On Citibank, it is true that we are experiencing challenges with regard to Citibank Water Board from a number of fronts. If I could bring you to the front in relation to that. Pardon?
I'm sorry, I did not mute myself.
Okay. We are interacting with the board, one in relation to their challenges between the board and their employees around salaries. But the problem has its roots, which is problem number two, that municipalities are not fulfilling their obligations in terms of paying the board And therefore, the board is, the municipalities are in huge areas led by Machabeng in terms of the what they owe to the board to the tune of something like 4.4 billion. There are other various municipalities that owe the board remarkably sums of money. That's problem number two. The problem number three is that the communities in these municipalities are therefore not making their appointments, their payments for water adequately so that the municipalities can pay the board. So those three problems. Then we have the fourth problem of electricity, because to pump water and make us the sewer plants and water plants work, we need electricity. So Citibank is unable to meet their obligations to Eskom all the time as necessary. That is the next problem. But the overall problem, therefore, comes back to Citibank, that they are in liquidity at the moment, and it's a matter that we are to deal with. We have to do short-term interventions to keep the board afloat via persuading municipalities to pay as and when it becomes possible for them. We have an outstanding meeting with the workers, the worker representatives, to deal with the issues of salaries. We have agreed with the unions to meet as soon as possible to deal with that money, because they have a view that Citibank may not be spending or they may not necessarily take advantage of some of the things they see stabilize them financially, and want to hear that from the unions and then interact with the board so that we could adjust if there's something that we could adjust on. Those are short term, but Citibank will have to pay the workers, but we're aware that in paying the workers like they did last month, we have to improve on their delays. But two, there is a collective agreement that seeks to increase salaries for Citibank workers. And that is on top of Citibank having raised an objection during the negotiations in the collective chamber or in the chamber, bargaining chamber, to say they won't be able to pay what was agreed on, and they asked for an exclusion basing it on the clause that allows them to do so. So all of these matters that I'm talking about say we're aware of the issues, and we're acting, interacting with the board, and we're helping them on a short-term basis. But on the other hand, we are engaging Treasury to make an intervention, because we asked Citibank what solution are they proposing. They are proposing to be bailed out, and we are engaging Treasury on that. There is another area of intervention. But the last area of intervention, just briefly to say, which then requires our discussion possibly in the oncoming meeting with the management. What is the future of the board, especially in the context of us having said there is a case in which they must talk to, and we said they must prepare and present a case for reconfiguring the boards, maybe not some of them, but of course others. We have to do that. So we have to cast our eyes very deeply and very far with regard to Citibank, but do that in the shortest possible time so that we don't continue to intensify the problem or allow the board to get into trouble deeper than they have already done. And therefore, we will be looking at that. So is the short-term, almost day-to-day interventions, it is the finance to allow the board to breathe a little bit, and then it's a reconfiguration so that the board can actually, you know, in a different form. We have to look at that. There are models that we have to look at that. But those are the matters in response to the honourable member, Mr. Leon Person, who asked the question. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. And I think we must appreciate the audacity of the ministry to be part of us for the whole day. Where we think we have not been answered properly, Honorable Leon and all of us, we can make follow-ups with the department and in writing, and they can always respond to ourselves. And we hope that, hello.
Follow-up question, if you allow me, to the minister on Citibank. It's just a yes or no answer from the minister.
Okay, but I think you said you wanted to ask them to bring the report. They're saying yes, yes. Now we want yes. Something else.
No, I don't want something else, Chair. I just want to ask the minister maybe while he spoke on the matter. Would you allow me? Thank you.
Let's hear that.
Minister, thank you very much for your report. I understand the situation that you are in with Sedibeng. Just a question, Minister. Don't you think it would be wise to put Sedibeng under administration and that the department take over the working of Sedibeng in the short term just to stabilize what's going on in that area? Thank you, Chairperson.
No, but I thought the minister said that, they are engaging Citibank. Citibank has, they've asked Citibank what is the recourse they are expecting from them. They said they need a bailout. He said that they are going to even engage Treasury on behalf of that. But also the fact that Citibank was failing on the basis of them having asked for an exemption on the salary structure as agreed in the bargaining council. Then, therefore, the intervention of the ministry is important in talking to the treasurer. Now, if you say in the meantime, you can't intervene by putting section 154 or 139 in the meantime, that for a short period of time, you must, when you intervene, must intervene because you want to change altogether. So you can't intervene in the meantime. The law does not allow you to do that. I'm not sure whether I'm misrepresenting you, Makwengwani. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, Chair, I think that suffices for now. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, colleagues. I think that we have come to the end of the meeting. What is the second item on the agenda?
Is there anything that we are leaving out? Disclosure, Chairperson. Drive safe.
The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Recording stopped.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot. The meeting is adjourned.